Morning Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotionals. Today's passage is 1 Samuel chapter 5. When the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it up beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. This is why the priests of Dagon and all who enter the house of Dagon do not tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. The hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how things were, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is hard against us and against Dagon our God." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath." So they brought the ark of the God of Israel there. But after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing a very great panic. And he afflicted the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. But as soon as the Ark of God came to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought around us to the Ark of the God of Israel to kill us and our people." They sent therefore and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the Ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deathly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Amen. Israel's enemies, the Philistines, had captured the Ark of the Covenant, which was a visual symbol of God's presence. Back then, when nations went to war, it was customary that not only were they fighting, but their gods were at war with each other. So when the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant, it was a crushing defeat to Israel. Yet, God demonstrated that he is greater. When the Ark was placed in the Ashdod, in the same room with the Philistine god Dagon, the next morning, Dagon was found face down, bowing before the Ark. When reset, Dagon was found the next day in the same submissive position, but now with his head and arms cut off too. And after being cursed with tumors, the ark was sent from Ashdod to Gath and then from Gath to Ekron, whom the latter finally realized that they needed to return the ark back to the Israelites. When I was in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, I had the opportunity to visit the Batu Caves, which houses several Hindu temples. You have to climb a very steep 272 steps to reach the summit, where you will face dozens of idols like the monkey god Hanuman. Although it is now a tourist attraction, it is still a place of pilgrimage for Tamil Hindus who come to worship here. Most notable is the giant idol statue of the deity Murugan, who stands outside the cave steps. It is concrete but covered with gold and stands at a whopping 140 feet. Its towering presence is what draws 5,000 visitors each day. When I was reading 1 Samuel 5, I immediately thought of this giant idol, face down and submitting in awe and reverence before the Ark of the Covenant. Yahweh, our God, is the one and only true God, and no idol can compare. Now, in our Western context, giant idols like this are not common to see. But we have idols in our hearts that take up some serious real estate, like Murugan at the Batu Caves. There are many things that we make into idols in our hearts. Colossians 3:5 says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. They may seem small, but can quickly build into a 140-foot idol that seems too daunting and impossible to break down. If we truly allow God to enter the same room as our idols, they have no choice but to bow and surrender before God. In light of God's power, His glory, His presence, these idols have absolutely no ground or standing. So will you allow God to enter your heart today? Some of you may feel that the idols in your life are too big to tackle, dismantle, or to surrender. But just like God did with Dagon, allow Him to do what God can do. Allow Him to do what only He can do. Allow God to fight for you and allow Him to enter your heart today. Let's pray. God, we thank You for today's passage that shows that no man, no God is greater than You. You are the most powerful. You are sovereign. You are the Almighty. And so we pray that Your light would shine and reveal and expose all the idols of our hearts, God, and that they would bow and surrender to You. So God, I pray that You would take Your throne and that we would be able to truly surrender our idols before Your cross. So we thank You, Jesus. We thank You. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.